can't tell, but Mario's away this week. Mario and Ruth are actually in England, and they are celebrating Mario's nephew's wedding, getting married. So in place of Mario, we have the privilege and honor to invite Sherry Clark up here to give the message. So come on up, Sherry. And we're going to pray for her. That was a killer message. It was. You got a lot of fans out there. It's a really good message, guys. But so let's just pray for her. Let's extend our hands to her this morning. Lord, I just pray, as I did earlier, Father, that you would just, your spirit would just invade this place right now. And Lord, that your word would ring true in our lives and in our hearts this morning. And God, that we would be transformed by the word that you have put on Sherry's heart this morning, a word of hope, a word that we need to hold on to, and a word that we need to understand. So God, I just pray for an amazing, amazing anointing on Sherry this morning as she gives the word and as she partners with you, Lord, to proclaim your truth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Am I on? Yes. You'd think I would know this by now. I don't know. Something about turning on mics that has been an issue for me. I'll deal with it, but it's just, I don't know. Well, good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Hope you guys are doing well this morning, even in the rain and the gray day. It's all right. We've had some beautiful weather, and we will have more. So for those of you that were here last week, you know that Mario began a short series entitled The Three Things That Remain, using the passage from 1 Corinthians 13:13 in the Message translation, which says, "But for now, until that completeness, we have three things to do to lead us toward that consummation. Trust steadily in God, hope unswervingly, love extravagantly, and the best of the three is love." So looking at those famous three things, we see something sandwiched in the middle. And it doesn't matter which translation you look at, they all line up the same. And that something that's sandwiched in between faith and love is something that for many people is considered wishful thinking or desire, something that might happen if they're lucky or if they perform perfectly. And of course, that something is hope. The idea of the word hope today in the world is more of a wish or an expectation, but without any certainty that it's actually going to happen, or maybe a desire that they really desire something a lot, but they have no real assurance of getting it, of it actually coming to pass. But that's not God's definition. And so before we delve into the topic of hope and how it fits into our relationship with the Lord, our relationship with others, and how integral it is to fulfilling our destiny in him, we need to know what that word means from his perspective. In Scripture, according to the Hebrew and Greek words translated by the word hope, and according to the biblical usage, hope is an indication of certainty. Hope is, in Scripture, means a strong and confident expectation based on God's promises. We have to have hope in his promises. That's where we start. And I like how Jamie Dixon, pastor of Kingdom Life Church, those of you that have been up to Oakland and love Jamie like we do, actually our youngest daughter and her husband go to that church. And I love how he puts this. He says, "To the world, hope is a positive outlook on life. Yet in the Scripture, hope is a future based on a proven and reliable promise." So in the beginning of the year, we all remember that The Lord gave Mario a prophetic word regarding where he wanted to take us as individuals as well as a church family, and what we needed to do to partner with him to assure that that journey was successful and prosperous. So as you all know, I'm a big one for recording prophetic words, for reviewing prophetic words, and that's what we're going to do right now. I want to briefly revisit that word because I believe we are still in the midst of that prophetic promise, and it's vital that we stay filled with hope so that we can complete and fulfill it. So let's look at this word. It says, this year, I want you to take possession of the inheritance that is yours in me. I will give you what I have promised to you when and where I see the footprint of faith. You only have to step out, trust in me, and take it. As you do, this season will be a season of expansion for each of you and for all of you, and a marker for your life. Like Joshua, be strong in me and be courageous because of me. When you are, you will know prosperity and success. So don't let go, take hold. Don't hold back, go forward. And don't give up, press on. I'll always be with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I am the Lord, the faithful one. That was a good word, and that is still a good word. Amen. Like, really, it's a good word. So alongside of that word, I want to reference another prophetic word that was given to Chris Valentin of Bethel Church for America right in the beginning of the year as well. And it's so similar, and it seems to reinforce and echo what the Lord said to Mario. In fact, there have been, I don't know how many of you follow prophetic things on the internet. There have been so many prophetic words speaking from the book of Joshua across the globe. And in fact, I almost blew up Mario's inbox because really, I would read one and go, oh my gosh, that is so much like what the Lord said to us. And what does that do? I mean, that's a confirmation, and it gives us a confidence. You know what? The Lord is speaking to his people. He is not silent. He is speaking to his people. Like that word says, he'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. And he hasn't. And he's speaking. So this is the word that was given to Chris Valentin at the beginning of the year. This is the epic season of God giving courage and prosperity to us. Prosperity is always the fruit of righteousness, righteous courage, and bold confidence. See Joshua chapter 1. Then I heard, this is the year of acceleration. Anticipate the promises being yes and amen. Call them forth. Call things that are not as though they were. Sounds familiar. Prepare for the promises, prepare for the promises, prepare for the promises. That was another good word. A few things that stood out to me that are obvious was the emphasis on courage and prosperity, which are both linked to expansion or acceleration. You have to have them. Faith and or bold confidence both always start, though, with hope. Hope is that necessary ingredient that sets our hearts in position, our minds engaged, and our faith ignited. Really important, because you'll see that how hope was placed in that verse about the three that remain is integral. We have to not only hold on to hope, we have to hold on to it, we have to believe that the Lord is faithful to us in it. But it says here also the other word that was in these prophetic words that reoccurred was promises. And the fact that there's a preparation process in our receiving and fulfilling them. That we have a very specific part to play in them becoming reality. I don't know about you, we were kind of born into the kingdom in a very prophetic word of faith church, okay? Back a long, long 30 years ago. So prophetic promises and prophetic words are a very big part of our history and something that we were taught on a lot. But, you know, sometimes you don't see prophetic words coming to pass. What's up with that? I know each one of you here can probably say, yeah, I probably do. Because there's things that we have a part to play in. Doesn't mean we bring them to pass. We partner with God to bring them to pass. We can choose not to partner with God. So preparing for the promises requires some action on our end, and obviously a lot of action on God's end, specifically in believing in the Lord's desire and ability to bring them to pass, as well as any instruction that he might give us personally, or like he did in January, to us as a church. So after agreeing with him in our hearts, in our minds, regarding the promises he's spoken, the next thing we have to do is we have to hold on to hope. And that, we're like, yeah, of course, yes, absolutely. But we all know it's not quite as easy to hold on to hope when things don't always seem to be going the way of hope. A familiar passage for many of us is in Jeremiah 29:11, which was spoken to Israel, physical Israel, we're spiritual Israel, but it's part of our inheritance as well. And it gives us another meaning for the word hope. And it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." And that word hope there in the Hebrew actually means a cord or an attachment. And as soon as I read that, I thought, and many of you probably have too, because we went through the book of Joshua, and remember Rahab the prostitute. And when the Israelite spies came in to Jericho, and they were spying out the land to take it over, and she helped them escape. And what she did was she put a cord, same word, through the wall, okay, to let them escape. And then, remember, when they were coming back, they told her to also put a rope or a cord, and it was a scarlet one, which is symbolic of the blood of Christ, which literally saved her and her family. So hope bonds and binds us to the promises of God. We have to have it. It's not an option. We have to have it. The fact is we are continually, and this is not new news to any of you, confronted by various media, our workplace, whatever it is, with a hopeless world. There's a lot of hopeless people out there. So, and along with that, we are still in the midst of walking out this prophetic word that the Lord gave us, which, by the way, remember, in the book of Joshua, there was a lot of battles. There were a lot of battles. And I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of you, like me, have felt you've been battling a little bit since first year, maybe a little bit more than usual. I mean, we know there's going to be battles, but recently, whew, and I feel like the world sometimes is a physical depiction of what's going on many times in the spirit. So as we're walking out this promise from the book of Joshua that the Lord gave us, the people then, just like us now, they had to decide. First off, they had to listen to the voice of God. They had to choose to agree with the promises that the Lord spoke. And then they had to obey the instruction. And if that was go to war, they went to war. If that was stay home, and obviously they didn't get it right all the time, and neither do we. But that's okay. We can keep doing it. I mean, the world is at war on so many levels right now, spiritually as well as physically. We know life has not been and never probably will be until we're there easy. You know, but it's a training ground. This is a training ground. Well, not that we're going to have battles in heaven, because we won't. Yay! But we need faith, as we'll see. Okay? And that is part of what we're learning. And remember, although life isn't easy, God is faithful. Like Paul said to Timothy, God is faithful. He is faithful. Speaking of Jesus, even when you're not or when I'm not, because he cannot deny himself. Jesus can't change. He cannot change who he is. He's always faithful. Faithful and true are the words in Revelation of him on his thigh. So when Mario asked me to preach about a month or so ago, and he didn't say what it was going to be, I walked out the doors. It was a ministry leaders meeting. And from that day forward, and it's continued, everywhere I turned, everything I listened to, everything I saw, I mean, even in health blogs, okay? I mean, everywhere was about hope. I couldn't escape it. It actually got kind of comical, to be honest with you. For instance, this is what I saw at my grandson's school on Grandparents' Day. I walked into the door, and the Holy Spirit said, look over there, and it was right there. And I said, okay. I mean, he was like, I get it, God. I get it. You know? But obviously, he wanted to make sure. So shortly after that, I sent Maureen an email in which I shared this. So this is a little transparency. Yay. I have been struggling with having hope for myself recently, mainly in the area of my health, and have found it has been chiseling away at my faith in believing healing and or change will ever come. I know I mentioned my back to you, which is the chronic pain I have dealt with and seems to move around, but I have also had other numerous issues, not life-threatening to my knowledge, that have tried and sometimes succeeded to get me discouraged. Funny, in many ways, I'm healthier from eating so clean, although not perfect, lately, but the things going on in my body do not always seem to relate to that. I have had prayer, created a crafted personal prayer to speak over myself, which I try to do almost daily, gone to 2 different chiropractors, had acupuncture, kinesiology, done yoga stretches, and a DVD series to strengthen my back, all with pretty much no change in my body. This has also affected my relationship with the Lord to some degree and my quiet time with him in having hope that he will bring the breakthrough I need. So as you could see, this message is for me. You're just here as a bonus. But see, you see, I had forgotten, and we all forget, but I had forgotten my life verse. And I hope you all have a life verse. And that can change. I've had this one I'm going to share for 15 years and thought I was kind of done with that life verse, but apparently not. So it's from the book of Hosea, and the Holy Spirit brought it right back up to me as I was preparing this message. And it's through I'll read it to you. It's from Hosea 2, 14 through 15, and it says, therefore, I am now going to allure her. I will lead her into the wilderness and speak tenderly to her. There I will give her back her vineyards and will make the valley of Achor a door of hope. There she will respond as in the days of her youth. Let me just say, first off, when I got that life verse, I think I've shared it here before, I wasn't focusing on the part that the Holy Spirit is having me focus on now. That's the way it is with the word, right? It's line upon line, precept upon precept, you know, grace upon grace, glory to glory. There is that continual building of the word. The word never returns void, which means that it's continually able to bring to us what we need when we need it. And it's going to be different sometimes. So this scripture, as I looked at it this time, I'm looking at hope. Wow, I never realized hope is a door. Hope's a door. And like any other kind of door, we can choose or not choose to open it and walk through it, especially when we're in the Valley of Achor. Now, some of you might know what what Achor means, because you are probably familiar with this verse. But the Valley of Achor, the word Achor, means troubling or distress or affliction. Now it makes a little more sense, because what the Lord's saying to do is contrary to what we would want to do. We don't want to walk through a door of hope when we don't see hope and we're being troubled and afflicted and distressed. That goes contrary to our flesh, okay? And I realized that I had become lazy in my faith, that I had needed to become more proactive, and I had to return to focusing on the Lord's faithfulness to me, to our family. And I had to go back to recounting some prophetic words and force feed myself with faith-filled spiritual food. I had to do that. The Lord wasn't going to do that for me. And I could choose to do it or to not do it. So I share all of that about me because I really do not believe I am the only one that has been feeling some of this lately. I don't think so. I feel like the enemy is targeting many of us, trying to like whittle away at our hope and faith, like little foxes nipping at our heels that that just don't stop and eventually wear us out. I also feel this is a continuation of the word the Lord gave us at the beginning of the year. We are still in process of taking possession of our land or our inheritance or our promises, whatever you want to, you know, to look at. But the warfare is also ongoing. And we know that when warfare is ongoing, we can get battle weary. We may not even realize we're battle weary. We just all of a sudden just kind of check out. Like, I don't really feel like reading the word. I really don't feel like going to church. I'm telling you, it's sly. Because the very thing that we need right then is the very thing that the enemy's just kind of whispering in our ear. Sounds like us. I mean, come on, it's summer. And I'm not saying I've missed church too. We're not talking the law here, okay? No. We're talking when we're in a bad place and we know it, but we're trying to pretend that we are not. That is called denial, okay? And in Proverbs 13:12, in the Voice translation, it states it like this. Hope postponed grieves the heart, but when a dream comes true, life is full and sweet. And I think we all know in here times when something came to pass and it was like, oh, this is awesome, this is great, and it's sweet, it's tender, it's we're so grateful. And yes, I'm not saying that those times don't come, but we also have these other times. What are you hoping or believing God for? Do you have something? Like, I had to sit down and think about this. It's not as easy as you might think for me. I was like, well, I don't know. I mean, obviously, I have certain things maybe in the family, you know. But God wants us to be specific with him. You know, what kind of breakthrough do you want to see? Whether it's in your life or in people that you know. But you felt hopelessness knocking on the door of your soul. Are you believing for salvation for your friends or family, financial success, healing, direction for the next chapter in your life, but it hasn't manifested yet? Has the enemy or life circumstances tried to get you, like me, discouraged or disappointed, to let go or pull back instead of pushing forward as the Lord specifically told us to do? Remember, he already knew we were going to be where we're going to be today. So he's already given us what we need for today. We just need to sometimes, all the time, check in and then remind ourselves or have him remind us, which he's very good at. Because the truth is, as Bill Johnson states, the offspring of fear is hopelessness. So now we're getting right back to the core of the enemy's MO, fear. Remember, the enemy comes to steal, to kill, to destroy, it says. But what did Jesus say? I come to give you life. Not just any old life. An abundant life. The way God originally intended it. So the enemy uses fear continually, but he can clothe or mask it in different shapes and forms so that we don't always recognize it as fear. right? And yet we're not supposed to be ignorant of his devices. It takes a Holy Spirit for that, obviously. But when we lose hope, we are actually living in fear. I realize that. Fear that nothing will change. Fear that God won't show up. Fear that we won't fulfill our God-given call. Or numerous other lies he uses against us to attempt to get us to agree with and to keep us from stepping out in faith. Remember? You know, the perfect love of God casts out fear. But the opposite, yes, is love. But remember, faith and fear do not partner together. They cancel each other out. It's not a, oh, I can have a little fear, or I can have a little faith. No. We want to be moving more and more into that place of faith. So it's times like these that we have to go back to the things the Lord has done. I don't care if you just met the Lord a week ago. Getting saved is huge history right there. Okay? Some of us have been walking with the Lord a long time, and we have a history with him. So we need to go back and feed on those things that give us hope and faith, to do what David did when he returned to Ziklag. For those of you that don't know this story, I won't get into it, I'll just reference it. Ziklag was where he and his men were there with their wives and children, and they went out to do some sort of a battle, came back, and Ziklag was burnt to the torch to the ground, okay? Even though their wives and children had been carried off, so they were not killed. And what was the first thing after David had to run from the guys that were going to stone him, because, you know, all his guys that loved him all of a sudden didn't love him then. So after that, he headed straight into the presence of God, because he had to encourage himself in the Lord. He had to strengthen himself. He wasn't going to get that from the guys, okay? And he had to go before the Lord and say, are we supposed to pursue them or not? And you know the story. The Lord said, yes, go, and you will overtake all. All will be restored. And it's true. He went back, and they got their wives, their children. No one was lost. No life in their camp was lost. So we need to draw on that history that we have with God, because as well as his word, spend time in worship. Because when we lift him up, and this thought came to me a few weeks ago going to church, we were listening to worship, and I thought, you know, when we lift up the Lord, like what we did this morning, when we worship and we lift him up, how come we always feel so much better? Because he comes in his presence? Yes, absolutely. But when we lift him up, we actually lift ourselves up, because we're in him. We're in him. We don't do it for that reason. It's just a byproduct. Okay. One of the scriptures that I like to meditate on is Psalm 91, and I especially like it out of the Passion Translation. And it says here, a portion of this says, he's the hope that holds me and the stronghold to shelter me, the only God for me in my great confidence. And in Zechariah 9:12, speaking to Israel, it says, return to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope. Even today I declare that I will restore double to you. And I said in the first service, it reminds me of Job. Remember, after all that Job went through, remember that the enemy put him through, it says that Job was restored seven times. God is a multiplier, not a subtractor, even though it sometimes looks like it's a subtraction. And I used the analogy earlier, never thought of it until then, but this building, if we came in and we didn't know anything about the plans for this building, we could look and say, ooh, wow. You know, this is pretty rough looking, and everything's been ripped up and torn out and removed. Don't you feel like that sometimes? But what we need to remember is, this is not the way we're going to stay. This is not the way this building's going to stay. It's not the way we are going to stay. Remember, we are going from glory to glory, grace to grace. We are going, unless we don't decide not to go anymore. And we can. We can decide. The Lord actually called Israel to be prisoners of hope and reminds them to return to their stronghold. They were to voluntarily stay in a place of constriction, I guess you could say, in a place called hope. That's what God told them to do. And this is the mindset that we need as well. And it does begin and continue in our mind a lot. We all know, you know, this is the pivotal point right here is the mind. That's why in Romans 12, God said, be transformed. How are we transformed? Renewing of our mind. We're not going to think like God thinks unless our mind is renewed. And our mind does not get renewed unless we spend time in the Word allowing Him to do that. And when we do spend time, He reminds us that He's the stronghold. He's the source. He's the fresh flowing river of hope. And He lives on the inside of us. I know. The mind does not get that one. Definitely. Jesus is called the God of all hope. He's called the hope of glory. I mean, He's got so many names that are connected to hope. And He not only lives in us, but the scripture says that we are also hidden by Him. When we run into that stronghold, that prison of hope with Him, we are hidden from the enemy. And that's a lot of hope. A lot of hope that we can access. But when we don't choose to commune and feed on that hope on the inside regularly, Sunday doesn't cut it. I love Sundays. I love coming to church. I love doing this. But if we don't do it more than this, I mean, literally, it just gets, you know, you, I know everybody's going like, yes, yeah, yeah, yeah. We know. You know, we're left. If we don't get what's on the inside, that the God of all hope on the inside, we're left with what we've got on the outside, and we all know that is, there's not a lot of hope out there. And the enemy likes to use fear, doubt, hopelessness to combat and to try to steal that hope from our soul. But we have to have hope for another reason, and that last reason that we, well, at least that I know right now, I'm sure there's many more, but is because hope fuels our faith. We have to understand that our faith, the kind of overcoming faith that we all want to walk in, and we do, we all want to walk in that because that's who He is on the inside of us. But it needs fuel. That faith needs fuel. And without the fuel of hope, our faith becomes stagnant, ineffective, and we don't get the breakthroughs that we want and that we know God has planned for us. Because He's planned victories for us. He has. Because that's who He is. He doesn't know defeat. He's God. Like we're taught in 1 John 5:4, and it says, for every, not just those real heroes of faith, not those, you know, ones like Bill Johnson and all those people, you know, the big shots, even though they don't call themselves that. I'm not saying that. No, the scripture says, for every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. Amen. That's the victory. Remember, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their life unto death, in Revelation. I was pondering, that's not in my notes, but I was pondering that because without faith, we cannot love our lives unto death. And thankfully, in this country, we haven't lived that, most of us. But a lot of other countries do. And, you know, the Bible declares that each one of us have been given a measure of faith. We all have a measure, and that faith is fueled by hope. It's a hope that Romans 5:5 tells us does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Putting our hope, and I know this all too well, in people or things will disappoint us often. But hope in God does not. And like I said, it may not look or come the way we think it's going to happen or come, but he is faithful and true. So it's clear to see that without hope, we actually, our faith and love won't even produce. Sam Storms, who I've quoted before, and he is a theologian, from his book Hope of Glory, explains this in his chapter entitled Hope, the Fountain of Faith and Love, and using the scripture in Colossians 1:4-5, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Sam goes on to say the preposition because of or on account of can only be taken as pointing to faith and love as in some sense a response to hope. In some way, hope produces faith and love. Hope then is the basis for faith and love. See how important that is? I never thought, like, I don't know, faith, yeah. Oh yeah, faith. Love, oh yeah, love. That's probably why God had me preach this message. Because hope was never as big of a part for me, because I didn't understand what it actually meant. So you see, faith and love are the currency of heaven, but hope is the main ingredient they're made from and the fuel that they run on. Now, we can clearly understand why the enemy is first after our hope. Because if he gets our hope, we don't progress into the faith that pleases God or the love that never fails. We must choose to set our hope as a rudder of our faith and the anchor for our soul. So it's kind of interesting because a rudder determines direction. The anchor is the thing that keeps you. And hope does both simultaneously. I think that's nice. It's a nice thing that God can give us one thing and accomplish so many things at the same time. One of my favorite quotes from Bill Johnson is that any area of my life for which I have no hope is under the influence of a lie. Ooh. That one always like hits me hard. So I'm like, okay. Just helps locate where you are. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. We are to be people who have received hope, who live a life of hope, and who inject hope into our world. We are to be hope bearers that literally inject it. People, they are screaming for hope because that's part of the way we're made, is to have hope. But the only way we're ever going to accomplish this is by fixing our eyes on Jesus. He's the author and finisher of our faith, and our eternal hope is secure, settled, and found only in him. In this life as well as the next, we must never, ever, ever give up hope of seeing his goodness in the land of the living. It's easy for us to say, I think anyway, yes, my hope is heaven, and yes, I'm going to heaven. And yes, we are. Praise God. But where I need hope is here. I need it here when I see the things that I don't want to see or the things that are happening that I don't want happening. That's where I need hope. And I love Psalm 27:13-14 in the Voice translation. It says, I will move past my enemies with this one sure hope, that with my own eyes, I will see the goodness of the eternal in the land of the living. Please answer me. Don't give up. Wait for the eternal in expectation. And be strong. Again, wait for the eternal. David declared this psalm, through that psalm, that we move past our enemies when we live in and through and by hope. And hope is the person of Jesus. He is our hope today, tomorrow, and throughout eternity. It's only because of him that we have the word of hope for the lost, the power of hope for the sick, and the confident expectation of hope for the future. We hold it out to others. We hold it in for ourselves. There's an ongoing give and take. As I close today, I just want to encourage all of us to remind us, hope in his promises. Let hope bind us to them. To hold on to hope, even when it's hard and especially when it looks hopeless. To walk through the door of hope and to purposely and intentionally hope. Let hope fuel our faith. So right now, I just want to finish up with, I'm going to speak a word, a portion of a blessing. It's actually from a book called Blessing Your Spirit by Arthur Burke. And immediately following this, we are going to have Melissa Hoffman come and bless us in dance. And let me, I just want to explain, take a minute. This, both the song and the dance are both prophetic. Okay, what does that mean? In this context, it means that the dance is unchoreographed. Okay, she doesn't have any steps that have all been planned out. I said, you go with your heart. And actually, I don't know what it'll be like in the service, so it might be different. In the first service, I will say, actually, someone, Cynthia, she's gone now, said to me that she said when Melissa danced and she had a band, she has my, I think she's dancing with my breakthrough flag, I think, unless she changed flags. When she was dancing with this flag, Cynthia said, I remembered the scripture that said his banner over me is love, but what I heard was his banner over me is hope. And I feel like it's not only prophetic, but that there's a release and there is a declaration in the spiritual realm that happened when she did this dance. Dance is pretty and dance is fun and yay, 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 but sometimes dance is warfare. Sometimes dance is doing things that we don't necessarily understand, but there are things that happen in the spiritual realm, okay? So she's going to do that, and the song is also prophetic or, unrehearsed, wasn't put together ahead. And a lot of it is they're just praising God in the spirit, but it is, again, prophetic. So we are going to have that directly after. For those of you, though, that have children that are upstairs, when we go into ministry time, we just ask that you would grab your children so that the workers can be released. And so I would like you to close your eyes. You know I love doing this. I like to make you close your eyes. It's just so you can concentrate. Day 35, hope. I bless you with hope when your expectation is delayed. When your temptation to hopelessness continues without fulfillment, your Father says that those who wait for him will never be put to shame. I bless you with knowing that your Father's eyes are on those who hope, and I bless you with knowing that he rewards those who hope in him. I bless you with security and safety because your hope is anchored in your Father's love. I bless you with faithfulness and fruitfulness in the face of circumstances that look hopeless. I bless your spirit to run to him as the strong and trustworthy anchor of your soul. I bless you with taking refuge in him so that you take new courage as you hold on to his character and his promises with confidence. I bless you with remaining in the threefold cord of faith, hope, and love. Amen. Let's enjoy worship.